the way to think about word camps is that we like doing business with those that we know, like, and trust. And how does someone get to know you when you live on the other side of the world from them, when you don't have a physical presence? Maybe you don't even have a place for someone to go. Our business is done on the internet, and that means that we don't really have a golf course.
Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to Woo Biz Chat, a Do the Woo podcast show. Woo! Woo! Woo Biz Chat is sponsored by Airwallex. Their online payment plugin allows you or your client to localize your WooCommerce store checkout experience by enabling customers to pay with preferred currencies and payment methods. And OmniSend. OmniSend is a solution for email and SMS marketing with their CRM solution for WooCommerce shops or your own website. I'll tell you more about our sponsors later in the show, but let's tune in as hosts Emma and Adam talk all things PR, public relations. If you're writing a Woo Biz, just being cool and great won't cut it. People need to find you and hear about you. If you don't have PR in your stack, well, make sure and listen in for some great tips.
Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of Do the Woo Biz Chat. I am one of your hosts, Emma Young, and I am joined today by Adam Weeks, both of which you can use our last names in another sentence if you'd like. You can't say that about everybody. So do with that information as you will. And today we're going to have the pleasure of diving in deep with all things PR with our favorite co-host, Adam. So
that's me.
That is you. And you, will you please tell us a little bit more about how you got to where you are in the PR realm? And where did it all start? Where did it all go wrong or right?
Well, it was a dark and stormy night. Oh, man. How did I get involved in all this jazz? Oh, thank you, Miss Emma. Yes, I was trying to think of what sentence you could put our last names into that would make sense for this episode. That is the challenge. Okay, by the end of this episode, it's going to come together. It's going to, the old noodle. All right, how did I get started in this? I have a background in education, and I've been a school teacher and vice principal and then principal and all the things. And I really enjoy it. It was a lot of fun. And then I transitioned out of education into the wide world of WordPress via PostStatus. So PostStatus was very welcoming. It's a wonderful community. If you're looking for a professional organization in WordPress, it is an excellent spot. They have an incredibly helpful Slack group that people get in and get a lot of help. And I started kind of selling sponsorships and memberships there, and still have a PostStatus hat. But I love that community. I fell in love with the community. But having conversations with people in WordPress, while inspiring and wow, this software, this stuff has really just changed lives and the internet and all these types of things, there was a theme, a recurring theme that many people that had built something amazing in WordPress, that solved problems for people, it made things faster or cleaner or better or whatever it was that they did to solve a problem with this open source software. How do I get people to learn about it? How does someone find out about the thing I did? I did a thing! And they feel like they're shouting into the void. There's nobody listening. So that's where I started this idea. I partnered with a friend of mine, Nick LaRose, and we started Cirrus Influence as really the only PR-focused company in WordPress that we've taken all of the different companies, all the different media outlets in WordPress, and we help companies get exposure on those media outlets. So yeah, I think that's the dark and stormy night story of how I started this whole Sirius Influence. And along the way, I met Bob and got on this Do the Woo thing. And yeah, I actually, Bob was really the first media person in WordPress that I met.
Who's Bob? Just kidding.
Bob Dunn. I don't know that he remembers this, but we met in Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City a few years back in 2021 for a PostStatus event. And Bob and I really started talking. We were actually headed out to dinner, and there was this really interesting restaurant. Like, there were these different, it was almost this cafeteria style, or maybe like a mall of these little small kiosks where you could buy food. And Bob and I were talking, and we got in line together, and he's like, "Oh, I forgot my wallet." And I was like, "Nope, this is an opportunity. I get to pay for Bob's dinner." And that was how we started meeting.
Oh, well, there you go. If it's in a trivia game, now you guys know the answer for all of you that are listening. But that's actually really sweet. Okay, so circling back to like PR, let's do a little bit of like a brief overview of what it is. What does it even mean? What do those letters mean?
So, this is my, since you can't see us, this is my like hands going back and forth because I'm excited. Like,
Tell me more. What does the R stand for? And why does it have an extra line than the P?
We put the relations in public. That's not weird. That's a weird, I'm not sure how to, I feel like that's inappropriate. All right. So PR is a term that's actually losing some of its meaning because of the ever-changing media landscape. Essentially, public relations really started out as these companies that wanted to get an editorial in some big newspaper, such as the New York Times or something. And if only they could get Vanity Fair to run with their new sunglasses, then they'd really make it big. And then you also have on the other end of that, a scandal happens at a particular company, and how do they limit the damage that this scandal does? And so you have public relations. How do companies relate to the public, to their public? And you have news outlets that are interested in what they're doing. But as you have seen, there politicians or CEOs of companies, they want to make sure that they're going to put their best foot forward. And so this whole industry of public relations popped up to help companies put their best foot forward to the public. And that's really kind of how it started. It has changed a lot since then, especially with the change in news, print, and TV, and all of that. It has gone through a lot of changes.
So would you say then like not just only like old school PR, OG, just to keep with the letters, and versus the new one, or how it's kind of iterated over the years, but are there different types of PR?
Yeah, and I would say there are very few PR purists, in a large part, especially when you think of outlets like you know, even Do the Woo or these different things that how do sponsorships work? And let me just kind of take a sidestep through something, you know, aligned incentives. A media outlet, a creator needs content, and they need to eat. They need to make some money. They need sponsors or advertisers. And with that, you have this an aligned incentive of a company that has both of those things. They have money to share for marketing. They also have the news of what's happening in that space. You can imagine that the companies of WordPress, when they have a big new release, or maybe someone sells their company to someone else, or there's just new things that are happening in any ecosystem, that company is able to align with that influencer, with that media outlet, and potentially provide both money in the form of ads or sponsorships, or they're also able to help give an exclusive interview and that the audience would be interested in. And that has morphed as we're looking more into podcasts or much smaller news outlets, because the ratios change of advertising dollars and where does that go, and size of audience and that type of a thing. So there are definitely echoes still of OG PR that happen, but we are now kind of in an age where everyone's trying to measure clicks and click-throughs and the stats and all of that. And that has both pros and cons to it, and definitely has changed PR as an industry.
So this PR purist, these PRPs, so it sounds like we're kind of moving away from that. Is there something that's maybe staying that's going to be kind of like an evergreen type of PR that you like, a fallback, or that you can always kind of depend on?
Yeah, I think that, and this is going to go a little bit to the advice and how to, if you are in WordPress, you know, how do you think about this? It's out of sight, out of mind. And we know that we can tackle this in a couple of different ways. You can control to some degree how you are seen when you pay for it. So if you pay for an ad, a certain number of people will see it depending on where you advertise. Then you have the part where you can't control, and that's going to be that earned media. So because you have something entertaining or educational to share, you can earn those eyeballs. Social media is an interesting part of that as companies try to get people's eyeballs, to get their attention. Then, and there's this idea that essentially money flows where the attention goes, and that's just true. The more eyeballs you get on your company, the more money that you will make is a general statement. How do you do that? And that's where there's kind of maybe this merging between, and you have, I would say, the umbrella over all of it is marketing. And branding is in there, and then you have advertising, and so paid media and earned media, and that's how you can think of it. So, what is the evergreen thing that you asked? Essentially, you have to be worthy of people's attention. You have to do things that, if I'm scrolling through TikTok or looking, searching on YouTube on how to learn something, or you know, scrolling the old LinkedIn, that you're going to catch my attention. That's the social media part of it. The other part is that there are people like Bob Dunn that I am going to listen to the stuff he does because I'm his audience. I am part of his tribe, and he is someone that when he puts stuff out there, I'm part of his community. The same can be said for other people in our community, Matt Medeiros or The Repository, or what's happening on Post Status, and of course the Tavern's a big one. All of these different media outlets, that's the other part, is these individuals have an audience. How, as a company, how can I align with that? And that's where I think the opportunity lies, and always will.
Yeah. So looking closer into the Bob Dunn tribe and the WordPress woo also, like, businesses in that community, like, is there a nice balance that works between the two, or is the one works better for that type of WordPress business? Or is it kind of just like a yin yang, kind of like, see what works here until you build that brand? Or
yeah, everything everywhere all at once kind of a deal.
Got
like
it. Moving on.
Yeah, do all of it is essentially, but what I will say is this: it's not enough to be good and to exist. Nobody cares. Like, you do not exist in any kind of real sense for some, like, yay, you're a company and you are good. Like, nobody cares. You're there to solve a problem for people. People have a problem, and you are a blip on what they're thinking about because you solve a problem. And that's how you exist to them, is the thing that makes life easier for them or makes them more money or whatever it is. We tend to think like, look at us, we're so amazing, we won these awards, and like, what do you want, a cookie? Like, no one cares. The thing about it is like, well, what do we do is, first off, you have to have something worth saying. Like, you need to think about your industry and think about your customer and what they care about, and how can you potentially create content that they are going to take their valuable time, and there's so many things grabbing their attention. How are you going to grab their attention in a positive way where your influence is up, and like, oh, they're an expert in this field. So I think the first thing is, make sure you have something that's valuable to say to your audience. You are the expert. Communicate that and hopefully entertain them along the way. And after that, then start thinking of the strategy of, where is my audience? How do I get to them? What will they be interested in listening to or reading?
Yeah. And then you can seriously influence them. Yay. Yeah. Okay, so when you're thinking about all of these things, does any like successful PR campaign come to mind? Like, is there one that just like knocked it out of the park?
Out of the park. Well, there's a bunch of different things that we do. One of the more recent ones was WP Engine had their Decode event. And it's a great event. It happens every year. And they really kind of came to us a little bit late. And it was just the process. You know, things take longer than you think they should. And in a very short amount of time, we were able to get them a lot of coverage for this event. And you think of it this way. A company like WP Engine has a big audience themselves because they're a big player in this space, and their social medias are going to get to a lot of people. Well, what else can they do? What, in addition to that, besides your own trumpet, you know, playing of, hey, we're doing this thing, yay, and spending money on ads and that kind of thing, is there are other media outlets such as the Tavern or, you know, the Republic. Like I said, we've got a ton of them that we can do. There's about 20 media outlets that are active in WordPress that care about this kind of a thing. And so there's the balance of, hey, you can, for a small amount of money, you can sponsor this newsletter and we'll do that for, we're going to get you on this podcast and we'll do that. There's two parts to it that I was really happy with for this WP Engine Decode event. There was, let's get people who are influential to be on your own media outlet, because companies have their own social channels. So we're going to bring outside people and have them be content for you. And then you're going to go to somebody else's megaphone, someone else who has an audience, and either through earned media, hey, we'll be in your podcast, we're going to share this research paper with you or whatever it is, share this news with you, or through some type of a sponsorship. Hey, and the reader has this, they recognize the relationship. Okay, so when you listen to a podcast, there is going to need to be some type of entity that sponsors it, that makes it happen, that brings it to my ear holes. Like, in order to bring this podcast to your ear holes, someone has to pay for that. And you, as a company, in this case, it was Decode Event, was willing to sponsor some of these different podcasts or newsletters kind of leading up to their event. So there's this final big push. Okay, finally, we're going to get some more people registering for it. This last push leading up to it, and they knocked it out of the park, and it was like one of their biggest, best attended Decode events. Ooh. So, yeah.
Good job.
Fantastic.
So that was a successful PR campaign. How do PR campaigns compare to PR stunts?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Is this a different thing? And do they sound as dodgy and as it are they as dodgy as it sounds?
When I think of PR stunts, I think of Red Bull. And Red Bull is this interesting blend of constant PR stunts. Because what on earth does Formula One racing or jumping out of balloons or racing airplanes, what does it have to do with bad tasting energy drinks that aren't really good for you? Like,
that give you wings.
They give you wings, apparently. But like, most everything that Red Bull does is technically a PR stunt, but we're okay with it. Like, we've given them a pass on it because it's freaking amazing. I saw one that they did where they took two airplanes for the solar eclipse and they positioned them perfectly. So like, they outlined, like, in between the two planes, like, was the totality of the eclipse. Like, that's bonkers and freaking amazing. And I wasn't mad about it at all. Like, so that is a PR stunt done well, right?
I'm just thinking about the amount of money. Like, what type of budget goes into that? What type of ROI do you get from, like, from that specific one with the airplanes and the eclipse?
Yeah. And the thing is that it's impossible to really measure well, but we know that it works because Red Bull is the most successful energy drink company on the planet for doing this kind of stuff. Like, they have a Formula One race car team, and that stuff is expensive. But they know that it works. There is a confidence in their brand. It's not, hey, look at all the features of our you know, sugary energy soda. It gives, you know, it's gonna do all these things for you. And I don't know, like, they never list. Like, have you ever seen a Red Bull ad that lists what it has in it? Never. Like, look at all the features that our soda has. It's a lifestyle brand. Like,
that sounds so weird. We've got this color red and this percentage.
Right. And this amount, like, you know, or even if they were to say, like, it has less sugar than our competitors, or, you know, Red Bull never says any of that stuff. They are a brand where it is, they want to inspire you. People like us do things like this. People that jump out of airplanes or fly airplanes, like, do, you know, drink Red Bull. Like, it's just that association with it. And so those are constant stunts done well. On the other end of the spectrum, you have stunts that go poorly when a company does something that is overly self-serving, and it is like, oh, wow, you guys, you just did that to get my attention and there's no value for it, then it can backfire. And so I think that a PR stunt poorly thought out is obviously going to be a bigger detractor than not doing it at all. But you can do stunts well. You can be interesting, entertaining, informative, and that can be a stunt, and it can have nothing to do with your product.
Whether you're a product or a site builder, OmniSend can help you with your customer or client's email and SMS through their CRM solution for WooCommerce. Product builders can bring their plugins and SaaS to a new level for their customers by integrating with OmniSend. And for you developers and agencies, recommending them to your clients for managing their customer relationships is spot on, because it gives them the right tool to build their email and SMS lists, send targeted campaigns, create automation workflows, and track their results, all from within their WordPress dashboard. With over 100,000 e-commerce stores already on board, have your clients and your customers get started for free by simply having them search for the OmniSend plugin on WordPress.org. The Airwallex online payments plugin allows you to localize you or your client's WooCommerce store checkout experience, so any size business is able to grow without borders. Setup takes minutes, and you'll find improved checkout conversion rates by offering Apple Pay, Google Pay, and 60 plus local payment methods. And since customers are not redirected to a different checkout page, that info is saved and you can offer recurring payments with WooCommerce subscriptions. What really stands out with Airwallex is merchants are not forced to convert foreign incoming payments to their home market currencies, and those funds can be used to pay suppliers internationally. So literally, you save money all around. It's all there at airwallex.com.
See, that you touched a little bit on, like, that it was hard to measure, like, a PR stunt or a PR campaign. What are some ways that you can?
So this is the thing I'll say, like, there's this branding element, and good things happen in the margin. And margin is that difference that you have between, you know, like, you know, when you have extra margin, we have extra energy to do the good things, because the good things sit in the margin. So Red Bull, we'll just go back to that as a company, because it's one we've all heard of. Red Bull has margin to pay for airplanes that have their logos on them, to pay for the pilots to do this crazy stunt. They have margin in their budget that if that doesn't go well, they're going to be okay. It's not, the company isn't riding on that campaign. And they know that over time, repeated exposure where they just do exciting, fun things is going to be beneficial for them. How beneficial? All they can really do is look back historically and see how their year-over-year growth has been. And they have had year-over-year growth. The difficult part with measuring, and I think to some degree, Google and Facebook have done us a bit of a disservice, and click-through, like, how, what is our email open rate, has done us a bit of a disservice that we think we can measure everything. And you can't really, in a productive way. I took statistics, and my statistics professor loved to say that there are lies, blatant lies, and statistics. If you want to convince someone of something, you can use numbers to do it, and you can convince yourself that, oh, the ROI was great on it. But that's not always the case. So back to my example with margin. If you are just barely able to make a profit and your company is struggling, and you don't have the margin to do a fun and creative marketing, right? You got to just be scrappy and get to it and get those sales and figure out what free things you can do. After you start having some margin and you grow and you're like, all right, we can start planning for the future. We want this brand to be here for a long time. I think of PR as brand building, and a company that is just struggling to make it, their brand may not be around for a long time. But if you want to last for time and to be a valuable brand, then that's when the PR really starts to pay off in the long term.
Yeah, and I think anybody who really works in marketing, especially in, like, the brand awareness, that part of it, it's probably one of the biggest things to justify the plans and the initiatives and the actions that you're doing, because most of us are driven off of these, like, you know, data-driven goals. Yeah. And then it's like,
KPIs.
It'll get there. Yeah. You just got to trust me a little bit. But yeah, okay, cool. So we talked about the PRPs, the PR purists. I'm making up this term now. We've talked more about, I guess, the traditional evergreen kind of type of PR. And we've talked about PR stunts versus campaigns. Is there any that, like, are just like, oops, but let's go with it, and you can capitalize on that type of stuff? Or is that just, like, not too often?
You know, we screw it up all the time. And I think that's the kind of thing is you learn from it and you keep going. There's a big conversation in WordPress as far as what is the ROI on going to a WordCamp. You know, we spend all this money to get our team there, to sponsor the event, to have a booth, and we made how many sales? None. Two.
So, yeah, that's actually very fitting, because I feel like that topic is quite the buzz these days. And I feel like that's going to be brought up at the next flagship, WordCamp in Europe, is like, I've had this conversation for sure at hosting, or like, what is the ROI of a WordCamp? And how you kind of set up these goals against yourself, you have to justify it in your own way, but that is a very interesting.
So I think the way to think about WordCamps is that we like doing business with those that we know, like, and trust. And how does someone get to know you when you live on the other side of the world from them, when you don't have a physical presence, you don't even have a place for someone to go? Our business is done on the internet. And that means that we don't really have a golf course. There's this old mantra or this thing in sales, like, you know, business is done on the golf course. Golf course? Not the golf course. On the golf course. And the reason why business gets done on the golf course is because that's a place for you to know, like, and trust someone. You know, did they cheat when they were playing golf with you? Like, I'm not going to do business with that person. Do you like spending the day with them outside in a sport that you like? We don't have a golf. We have word camps. We have these intermittent opportunities to be in person with people where there are just times to talk and we go to learn things and there are parties afterwards. That's our golf course. How do we make sure that these things still exist? Well, one, for the companies that want to say, hey, companies like us do things like this. We're one of the big players in this space. The big players in this space help make these golf courses, these for us, happen. And there is an appreciation of that. My encouragement would be is how we talk about that. Because you can go to a WordCamp, sponsor it, and do it right, or you can do it wrong. There are wrong ways and right ways to show up at a WordCamp. And I think that in order to get the ROI, you have to plan it out well. What are you going to do before WordCamp? What are you going to do during WordCamp? And what are you going to do after WordCamp? And if you don't get that right, then the ROI isn't there and you've wasted a lot of money.
Yeah. And just so we can add some more golf jokes in there, you can definitely hit under par. And if you do some postmortems, and if you don't know what that is, you can listen to a previous podcast on what to do afterwards, so you can hit even lower to get that hole in one.
Four.
I'm embarrassed by that, actually. Yeah. Okay. So we talked about all the good things you should do and all the successes, but what are some big no-nos?
Nobody likes to be sold to.
Fair.
No one likes it. It's not a fun thing to do. And especially if you set the expectation that this is, and we'll go back, you know, WordCamps. Hey, WordCamp, camp is in the name. Like, this is supposed to be a place to go to have fun and to learn and do it. And if you come to a WordCamp with a hard sell, that is off-putting. So many people that come to these events are there as volunteers. They have volunteered their time, and this is their celebration of what they've done in the last year and how the project has grown, and that's exciting. If you go to that event with a heavy sales, like, wait, I didn't come here to be sold stuff to. Like, I know that, yeah, there needs to be sponsors. I know money is being spent at something like this, but I didn't come here for you to give me a heavy-handed sales pitch. And that would be the thing that I caution against. Be confident in who you are. And we are a brand that does these things. And essentially, it goes something like this. I am an expert in XYZ in WordPress. And I have learned these incredible things, and I'm excited to share this with you. In fact, if you do some of the things that I'm going to share with you as a expert in WordPress, your website will be better, faster, stronger, all of those things. Oh, and by the way, I happen to work at company XYZ. That feels much better than buy, 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 buy. Like, you need this thing. It's going to change your life. So, you know, no, like that's off-putting. And that is in the PR is public relations. It's relationships. Build relationships. Don't try to sell to me, because there's a good chance that at the moment that I'm at a WordCamp, for say, I probably don't need the thing that you're selling. Right? The likelihood that at the moment that I need to, that I recognize I have this problem and have the money and I'm ready to purchase, probably does not coincide with the moment you said buy, buy, buy. However, over time, over maybe a 2-year span of time, if I consistently hear your name in a positive way as an expert for SEO, for, you know, this plugin that or that plugin this or whatever it is in WooCommerce, all those things, if over time I keep hearing, hey, they're the ones that do this. Yeah, they're the company that does that. When it's time for me to buy, you will be top of mind and I'm more likely to purchase from you. But it's probably not today.
Yeah, I think that's a good summary of it, is just that you're the first person that comes to mind when they are ready for that purchase. But okay, so to wrap kind of everything up that you've talked about, let's say a business, a WordPress business, going to WordCamp or just like deciding that now's the time that they want to invest in some PR. What would be their first steps to do to getting that started? Or somebody who's maybe just barely started, like what would be kind of like a short checklist needs to have?
First, you got to start off with the why, because that's always the best question to ask, is why do you want that? Like, you start with why, and like, okay, you answer that for yourself. It's like, all right, I understand that I've built something that people want. The problem is that not enough people know about it, and you've come to that conclusion. The first things you can do is, where do you go for advice? Where is your tribe? And an excellent example of this would be, hey, Do the Woo is one of my tribes. I'm here, I show up, and I really like the guests. I mean, the hosts are incredible. I mean, they're just amazing people.
They really are, especially when their last names are like at the end of the alphabet.
Right. And for weeks, you know, they just make me feel young and youthful.
Hey.
Ka-chow. Maybe I should be on their podcast. Let me message Bob, and I've got an idea for maybe I could be a guest on a podcast that I listen to. Be bold, I think, is the next thing, is have the courage to try and know that you probably will get told no, but try again and learn from it, saying, hey, you know, you said you didn't invite me to be a guest on your podcast. What would be more helpful? Or could I have, is there something that would be more interesting to your audience? So, who is your tribe? See if you can be get in front of that tribe. And that's good practice, because those are the people who are going to want to support you. They're going to want to support one of their own. They want you to succeed. The next part is, continuing to do your own research and make sure that you are the expert. Like, I know my craft. And I know that this is going to be helpful, and then turn that into a talk at a WordCamp, at a local, and it can be even, you know, a WordPress meetup, but turn that expertise that you have into a talk. And I would start with giving it to your local meetup, like do that talk at your meetup, and at the end of it, get feedback. Did you guys stay with me? Was that helpful? And then apply to speak at a local WordCamp or even a big one. Another part is get comfortable with sharing your expertise. One of the things that I do is I attend a weekly Toastmasters, and that has helped me speak good, because speaking good is hard. I have lots of room for improvement, clearly. But it has increased my confidence to say, yeah, I can get in front of a group of people and talk about something.
All right. So to end, what was, like, there's a drum roll for my stalling. What was the one thing that you wish you knew at the start, or that somebody told you, or did you already give away all of your secrets and advice?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Never mind. Let's just end there. I'm just kidding. No. So like one thing, words of wisdom from Adam Weeks.
Words of wisdom from Adam Weeks.
Weeks' wisdom. What was the one thing that you wish you knew?
The what of W's. Yeah. Will we? Confidence is that we wait for confidence to happen. Someday I'll know what I'm talking about. And that day, no one is coming. There's not going to be a day where someone's going to get you off your couch and say, hey, today's the day, go do the thing. Like, it's not happening. And you have to do it yourself, is that realize no one's coming. I decide that I want to do this and am worthy of doing it. I have something to share and I'm going to go for it. You will get pieces of data back, either encouraging or discouraging. And all that is, it's points of data. It's not, if it's discouraging, it doesn't mean to stop. It means, all right, well, maybe you need to adjust your approach, do things a little differently, learn more, practice more, whatever. If it's positive, yeah, it's more data. Do more of that. But no one's coming to give you the encouragement that you need. This is your encouragement. Okay, I lied. Someone is coming. It's me right now through your air holes. Go do it. You've got this. Make it happen. Today is a day. There's a bunch of WordCamps coming up. Apply for them. Local meetups, whatever it is, start, I think, is the biggest encouragement.
That's awesome. Yeah, so you won't ever get like a badge of confidence. But the beauty of it is you can give yourself that badge. And if you need a little nudge, they can always reach out to you to give them that boost of confidence.
Full of encouragement.
Yeah. Yes, you are. He's giving double thumbs up. You can imagine that. So, all right. So thank you very much to Adam Weeks, and also for using our last name so beautifully in that sentence.
I do what I can.
I was wondering if you were going to make the challenge. Yeah, I think that's about it to wrap us up about everything PR. But of course you can reach out to Adam, on LinkedIn or on his website. There'll be links, and ask any questions that weren't answered. And, we'll see you next time on.
There's going to be some amazing, amazing things coming.
Yes, yeah, we will figure those out, and then we can, pitch them to you in a not salesy way.
Well, thank you, Miss Emma Young. That was a fantastic time. Let's keep doing it. Looking forward to future podcasts and potentially hidden words that may or may not show up in our future episodes as well. We'll see what those are. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Well, I'd like to thank Emma and Adam for their conversation. And as someone that has had their own businesses for over 3 decades, I cannot emphasize the importance of a good and solid public relations plan. So if you're doing great stuff, make sure it's out there. And again, thanks to airwallocks.com and omnisend.com for their amazing support of WooBizChat. Until the next time.